Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Wondered why I saw so many hogs on the road this morning.
Yeah,
that's what we bikers call motorcycles.
Yeah, you're a biker, are you now?
Choppers, hogs.
You're a biker.
Choppers, yeah.
I can see you riding that motorcycle with the big high handlebars up there trying to steer that thing.
Trying to not crash.
With Swanee in the sidecar.
Swanee in the back, holding my waist. That's nice that the Toys for Tots thing every year.
Every year.
That's
this
a nice
is the 46th annual event.
Yeah, that's a nice event every year. And they bring in lots of toys for kids that otherwise would go without.
Right, right.
For the holidays. So, you know, shout out to them. Hopefully they're listening this
year. Yeah, even with the lousy weather, they're underway here.
Not that lousy.
Well, it's just gloomy. And it's been this way now for 3 days. And yeah. I can't take it.
Well, we bring the sunshine. This show is like the radio sunshine,
a ray of warmth,
a ray
and
of
sunshine,
warmth, love.
Especially, listen to you.
Especially this time of year,
listen to you.
When you listen to this show, it's practically just like having your chestnuts roasting on an open fire,
or something like that.
Something like that.
Hey, I believe Jack Frost is nipping at my door. No, it's just the Sunday morning show.
Well, look over there. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow.
Their eyes appear to be all aglow.
All aglow.
Or else they're on some kind of goop. That's our cheery holiday message for today.
And here comes Santa with lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh.
You know, if you start analyzing the Christmas songs, they're really kind of weird. Really.
That's why you don't analyze them.
Yeah.
Just sing them.
Just sing them. Rip them out.
There's our next karaoke event.
What, a Christmas sing-along?
Yep.
That would be fun.
It would be.
You know, it wouldn't kill us to do a little toy drive on this show.
Well, okay, here's another item that has never come to fruition to pass.
I'm full of ideas. We just never follow up on any of them.
The cakewalk, the bowling alley.
We have a Christmas...
A Christmas
sing-along. And you bring a toy, you know, donate a toy.
And you get to participate.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. We've already done a wedding.
That's right.
So why not a toy drive?
Where would we do this exactly?
That's a good question.
Your house?
Sure.
Your house is...
Oh, yeah. Invite everybody
right,
to my house.
Party at Swanee's house, everybody. If you Cher kicking off the show today. Yeah, Cher. You want to know an interesting stat about this song?
I think I know what it is.
What's that?
It's a number one hit, and it's among, what, 60-year career or something like that?
It is Cher's latest number one song, DJ Play a Christmas Song. And it is her seventh number one song in 7 decades.
That's
over 7 decades.
I learned that in the elevator yesterday.
See?
I did. I'm not kidding. It was information on the screen there in the elevator when I was coming in.
Say what you want. Our elevator is very educational. We didn't have in the old dump on Michigan Avenue educational facts in the elevator.
No, you got in the elevator and there was a person with a big handle that said, "What floor, please?
Ladies lingerie, please." And we didn't have to really take the elevator because we were on the first floor.
Well, for a while.
For most of the time.
You were always on the floor with the
VIP
mattress
suite.
Store. But we were up on the 7th floor. We were on the 11th floor.
Toward the end, I forgot. Yeah. I blocked out those later years. I was thinking back to the Bob Collins days when we were We were all on the first
all
floor.
One.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
All one.
One great big happy group.
Kumbaya. But yeah, that's what this is. There is only one other musical performer that have had number one songs in 7 consecutive decades. Did you read that in the elevator?
No. No, I didn't read that.
No, you didn't. Because I did a follow-up report. I also saw it in the elevator, but I did a follow-up report. Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones are the other group that have had...
Well, sure, they've been together.
Number one songs, seven consecutive decades.
Decades, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know Cher's first number one song? What do you think that would be?
Oh, it might have been with Sonny. I Got You, Babe.
They say we're young and we don't know. Won't find out till
I feel like I'm in the movie Groundhog Day right now.
No, I didn't learn that in the elevator. I learned that listening to...
Your Ray of Sunshine?
The
Sunday morning show?
Yeah, the Sunday morning show.
Your virtual Ray of Sunshine. We can actually make flowers grow. This show is so, so full of it. Sunshine,
yes,
I mean.
What you just said
sunshine,
there.
I mean sunshine. That was their first
number
one
song.
I Got You, Babe.
August 1965, everybody. Then in the 1970s, number one songs, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
Yep.
Half-Breed.
Half-Breed, yes.
That's all I ever was. Half-Breed. Dark Lady.
Thank you.
Thought you were going to join
keep
in.
Going. Just keep going.
I thought you were
going
to join in. Dark
lady laughed
and danced and hit the candles one by one.
Do 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 do.
Do 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 do.
That's a new twist.
All right.
That's where they got that from, his Vegas show. Schwanny the Vegas show. Celine Dion can't sing forever.
No, she can't.
Not lately, apparently. And then
that's not nice.
Well, she's sick. She
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she can't.
It's not nice.
I didn't mean that in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
She's not able to anymore. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
Continue.
All I Ever Need Is You. It's also number one in the 70s. Then in the 80s, you ask.
She believed, didn't she?
She believed. That was actually that was one of her 90s hits.
Oh, was it 90s? Or?
Yeah, that was 90s.
Oh, wow.
1999. But in the 80s. After All, the song with Peter Cetera, and then the one, If I Could Turn Back Time.
That's what I was thinking about.
That was in the 80s. Yeah. And then, you know, it goes into, like, dance club songs. Like, I'm not familiar with her song, When the Monkey's Gone.
No, I don't know that one, no.
Oh, when the monkey's gone.
Now you're making that up.
I am totally making that up. Song for the Lonely. I know that one.
That I can't place that one.
This is a song for the lonely. I'm not going to do it justice.
Okay.
Jack, turn off his microphone, please.
Yeah, please. Anytime. but anyway, number one songs in seven consecutive decades.
Wow.
for
That is an accomplishment.
Share.
Wow.
That is impressive.
Did you see that where they lit the tree at Rockefeller Center in New York? I think it was the week before last. Kelly Clarkson.
It was the other night.
Was it?
Yeah. It was not the week before last. It was just last week they did it.
All right. I have to jump on my back. It's the holiday season.
Yeah. I was just kind of trying to be accurate.
Yeah.
You were saying?
Cher was one of the performers on that show and did a duet with Darlene Love, her famous Christmas song, whose name is escaping me.
There's snow on the ground.
Christmas Baby, Please Come Home.
There you go.
Yeah. But Cher and Darlene Love did that as a duet, and it was fantastic. And they're both, Cher is almost 80 years old. Cher's like 77, 78, somewhere in that neighborhood. Darlene Love's got to be somewhere around there too, right?
You'd think.
And they both look fantastic. They both sound fantastic. And they are rays of sunshine in my life. Wow. You're getting quiet in here.
I was busy preparing our newscast.
Mm.
I have a newsroom to run.
I know you do.
Here we go.
I know you do. just part of the reason I'm so full of the Christmas spirit this year, that I'm so, or Shwani would like to put it, why I'm so full of it.
Yeah.
This time of year. Because of all the holiday songs, it's all, you know, and I just came back from London. That is,
right.
You want to talk about a city that decks itself out for Christmas. Holy smokes. London is absolutely beautiful this time of year.
Hmm.
I was there doing some interviews for this new Wonka movie. You know, there's in a couple of weeks, this movie, it's called Wonka. It's a prequel to the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with Gene Wilder. It's the story is how Willy Wonka got to be the, you know, how we saw him in that movie, how the Chocolate Factory came to be, how the Oompa Loompas, you know, became part of the equation, the whole deal. And it's beautiful, and it's well acted, and it's a lovely, lovely, lovely holiday movie. I can't wait to. I interviewed the star of the movie. Timothée Chalamet. Hugh Grant plays the Oompa Loompa in the movie and steals the movie. He's so hilariously adorable. Who else is in the movie? Olivia Colman, who you usually know from more serious, you know, British stories, like The Crown and so many others. There's Academy Award winner Keegan-Michael Key is in the movie. It's a delightful, delightful movie, but we interviewed the cast there. I took a chocolate making class.
Hmm.
This is my new thing now, where I want to make some chocolate on TV.
I was just going to say that'd be perfect for that.
Yeah, I am definitely going to do that. But in this chocolate making class, we recreated the chocolate that Willy Wonka introduces in the movie. I forget what it's called exactly, but it looks like a chocolate tulip that you painstakingly put together. Like with the tweezers, it's so delicate, which we did. But I'm going to do like sort of a different takeoff of that. But I'm going to give my hand. I'm not really a chocolate maker that much, not really a baker really that much. But I'm going to give it a whirl to try to make some chocolate on TV.
Isn't it fun to watch masterful people like that to put that together?
It was amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah,
you know they do it. You know, like without any difficulty at all. And then they take you to your station where you're going to do it. And like suddenly I've got chocolate all over myself, all over my face.
Now that's a picture.
Yeah, I looked like somebody beat me up.
That's a picture with just you and a big mess all over
the place. Huge mess. Huge mess. It looks like you took a three-year-old and put him in front of the chocolate. Looks like finger painting. That's what it looked like, finger painting.
Well,
I'm just saying that's what it looked like. I'm not disputing it. Just saying that's what I looked like. So we're going to give it a whirl. We're going to give the next couple of weeks, we'll give that a whirl. But London was absolutely beautiful. And if anything gets you in the spirit, it's those beautiful, beautiful decorations.
Well, do they decorate the famous things like Big Ben and Westminster Abbey?
No,
that kind of
thing? I didn't see that. But the streets, the stores.
Streets, yeah.
The streets, they decorate like from one side of the street to the other. So it's sort of a canopy laid over on top of where the motor vehicle traffic is moving. And it's just beautiful. I'll show you some pictures. I took some pictures of it. I'll show that to you.
Put them up on the WGN website.
Oh, there's an idea.
Sure.
Right now, you mean?
No. Well, when you have a chance, you know, to post them, that would go well with your segment, Making Chocolate. Then again, of course, if you have a picture of you with chocolate all over yourself, that would be even better.
Yeah, I do have a video, actually. They took video of me trying to do this. It's why I had to leave the country. They kicked me out. And now at 9:28, it's time for America's favorite
what?
Just favorite.
You were at a loss for words.
No, he was reaching for his compass and protractor. That's what's going on. I was distracted. Yeah.
Seemed to have misplaced my protractor. I haven't used it in 50 years. But, yeah, it's what we call the far-flung forecast, our weekly competition. Facts and Figures. I just completely short-circuited just
really
then.
Did.
Yeah. He had to come in here and press Control-Alt-Delete on me.
Reboot.
Get me going again. Now, with the latest, here is Dave Ebenezer Schwann.
Well, thank you very much, Uncle Dean. Good morning, everyone. Yes, indeed. Get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled GPS devices, because today we actually are staying in the land of Lincoln in Illinois. We're going way south, southwest, to Kaskaskia, Illinois.
I've heard of Kaskaskia.
A fascinating...
Normally, I think you make up these locations.
No.
But I have heard of Kaskaskia.
Kaskaskia has a history going back way before not only the state of Illinois, but before there was a United States of America.
Really?
It has a population these days of 21. But at one time, Kaskaskia was part of actually American Revolutionary history, where General George Rogers Clark beat back British forces to get this territory for what became the United States in July of 1778, July 4th, actually. In 1881, Kaskaskia was cut off from the rest of Illinois because of flooding, and it is the only point in the state of Illinois that is west of the Mississippi, not east.
I think that's why I have heard of Kaskaskia.
But wait,
for that fascinating. There could not be a more interesting fact about Kaskaskia.
Oh, but wait, there's more.
But what?
There's more.
What?
There's more, my
no
friend.
No way.
Yes, because Kaskaskia also was the first capital of the state of Illinois,
really?
Yeah. Which became a state on this date, 205 years ago, December 3rd, 1818.
Wait, Illinois became a state 205 years ago today?
Today, yes. And Kaskaskia was the first state capital. Yes, sir. That's right. Now it had a larger population then, but now, as I
say, why'd they move?
Well, I think the flood may have had something to do with
it. Too hard for people to say Kaskaskia?
That could be also. And the population dwindled, but now just a...
Dwindled? Down less than 21?
No, it dwindled from a couple hundred, really.
Oh.
Yeah, from, 200 years ago.
Now it's dwindled down
to 21. Now it's down to 21, yes. And Kaskaskia weather today, well, they've got sunny skies down there. It's 43. They'll have a high of 56.
And our pal, Dr. Kevin Most,
come home for Christmas.
Medical director, Central DuPage Hospital. Chief Medical Officer, and good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Dean. How do you like this 37 degrees and rainy day?
Yeah, you know what? You don't have to shovel 37 degrees or rainy. So
that's right. That's right. Don't shovel rain.
I'm not complaining about either one right now. So I'm just back from London last week, where I was doing some interviews. And what I found very interesting is, even though it's that time of year, people are traveling, holidays are upon us, I barely saw anyone wearing a mask. I mean, people obviously are feeling very, very comfortable in places where, a year ago, 2 years ago, certainly, you wouldn't think about going on a plane or being in a crowded airport or in a crowded store or something, holiday parties, without some kind of protection. What's your take on that?
It's a little disappointing too, especially when you look at Thanksgiving. Just what, a week ago, here we had one of the busiest travel days ever at that Thanksgiving holiday, and our influenza numbers were up. And if you look now, COVID numbers are up and increasing pretty dramatically here over the past week to 10 days. So we're going to see what happened over this Thanksgiving bump, and unfortunately, it's going to come right around the time of Christmas. So we're seeing RSV cases up. We're seeing mycoplasma cases up. We're seeing certainly COVID cases up in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, that's all the more reason. I mean, you should have done it a while back, but get that latest COVID shot. Get your flu shot. And I'm wondering about something now, too, this RSV vaccination. Is that right? RSV?
Yes. So that's RSV is respiratory syncytial virus. It's a very, very common virus that kids get all the time. Unfortunately, very young children, the newborn, is where our biggest exposure is because it can be devastating towards their health. Those are the kids that are filling up the pediatric intensive care units across the state right now, are mainly the RSV cases.
Well, here's why I'm extra concerned about this, because I'm reading stories about some mystery respiratory illnesses coming out of China, respiratory illnesses that include pneumonia that we really don't know that much about. And, you know, you hear about mystery illnesses in China. It takes you back to the beginnings of COVID-19. What do we know about this? What can we do to protect ourselves? Give us the latest on all this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we try to have healthcare transparency around the world. That's what allowed us to track COVID as well as we could, where we knew where the new variants were coming because everyone was sharing information about the healthcare and the infection problems in their country. China is the exact opposite. They're trying to keep everything close to their vest, and whether that's because of political reasons, I'm not really sure. But there has been a huge spike in respiratory illnesses in China in children that is really kind of getting us, at least getting our attention. World Health Organization has gone in, and they're still trying to identify it. It looks like it's a lot of cases of COVID and RSV, a lot of mycoplasma. But really, one of the things we're really concerned about is they really haven't identified specifically some of these pathogens that are causing this outbreak in China. So we really want to know what's going on. The World Health Organization has been as reassuring as they can, saying these are normal, common pathogens. And what they're seeing is exactly what we saw last year, because in China, their lockdown and their control of exposure extended well beyond ours. So this could be just something as simple as they're getting the triple-demic in kids that we saw last year because they were locked down. We'd like more transparency as they tell us what you're seeing, Bill.
Yeah, if it's merely that, just say it, right?
Absolutely.
You know, as you said, we don't know the reasons behind their secrecy on this, but if it's nothing, you know, or not, I shouldn't say nothing, but if it's just rather common, just say that this is what it is. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so the rest of the world can literally breathe a little more easily with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I said, the world is getting smaller here. You know, years ago, a trip to London was something big. Now you go to London for the weekend to go do interviews and come back. You know, I mean, the world is getting much smaller. Yep. So we really do have to be aware of infectious diseases across the entire world.
Yeah, I was really surprised I was one of the few that wore a mask on the plane and in the airport and any place where it felt crowded to me. I had my mask on, and I was the odd man out wearing it because, you know, everybody else is just proceeding as though it's a business as usual. So let's hope, you know, it can be an uneventful holiday season disease-wise. What about the state of vaccinations and all that? Is that going up? It was rather stagnant the last time that we talked.
And it continues to be stagnant, which is so frustrating. Influenza vaccine, I think, is doing okay. But when you look at COVID vaccine and the COVID booster, that number is not budging at all, which is very unfortunate. But you know, we're starting to see more and more influenza cases, so at least individuals getting vaccinated for that. I think it's the trust factor as well as the confusion of, do I really need the COVID booster? I had COVID X at this time. At what time do I need it? And that's very legitimate. And with the number of public cases or cases going on in the public right now, that's just going to extend that because people are going to say, wait, I had COVID, I tested positive. Therefore, now I don't need the vaccine for the next 3 months because I have the natural immunity, which is absolutely true. So we're trying to chase those individuals who haven't been sick and haven't had the booster to get their immunity up.
Now, in terms of getting the vaccinations, you're recommending COVID, you're recommending the flu shot. RSV for everyone, are you recommending that?
I'm not recommending RSV for everyone. You know, certainly the RSV, what we look at is three main populations that we're concerned about. One is obviously the newborn. And we have a new shot for them. It's actually not a vaccine because their immune system for that first 12 months of life is very poor, still trying to mature as they age. But what we do for newborns is we can give them actually antibodies to fight off RSV. Then the other one is actually the mother. You know, the mother in the late stage of pregnancy, when we give her a vaccine for RSV, what actually happens is she pushes those antibodies to the newborn baby. So they get protection there because that's the population we're concerned about. And then the last is individuals over the age of 65 or 70 with any underlying disease, or if they're going to be around any newborns, I certainly would have the discussion with your physician regarding the RSV vaccine. For people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, you guys are exposed to RSV pretty much probably every, at least once or twice a week. And certainly we can handle that for the most part. But it's the young child, that newborn infant, and those over the age of 65 that we're the most concerned about.
I know that you had said that it's okay to get your flu shot and COVID shot at the same time. Does that also apply to RSV? I can't remember if you said. I mean, can you go in and get all three at one time? How do you recommend that?
No, I don't recommend the triple whammy. You know, the double whammy can be hard enough, and you probably have seen there's been a bunch of studies out saying how much the side effects will be increased a little bit when you get them both at the same time. I think from a compliance point of view, and certainly we know that the immune response is great with the two at the same time. There haven't been a lot of studies on the three because the number of people that are needing those three is so low. So I'm a big proponent on flu and COVID at the same time, and then really have that discussion with your physician about the need for RSV and when you should get it. And again, those over the age of 65, make sure when you're getting the influenza shot that you're asking for that high dose, because your immune system is not as good as people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, and you need that little extra boost to make sure that you get that. That's the population we're trying to keep out of the hospital with influenza. Seniors, so good idea there.
Good stuff. Calls and texts already coming in for Dr. Kevin Most, 312-981-7200. We'll get to the phones. We'll get to the texts. 949, Dean Richards. Sunday morning on WGN. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. And your questions for the good doctor, 312-981-7200, either on the phone or on the text. And on the phone is Jim. Good morning. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Dean. Good morning, Doc. It was nice seeing both of you out at treat time. Question for Doc here. Of the patients that we're seeing that are testing positive, whether they're symptomatic or asymptomatic, this is COVID we're talking about right now, what percentage of these people are vaccinated? I mean, I'm hoping you're going to give me a very low number so that I can sell that back to our patients and say, hey, we'll prevent you from being positive as well.
Yeah, Jim, and you know, the ones that we get the most concerned about, obviously, are those who are hospitalized. So what's going on in the public, we really don't have a great idea, because now you can do the COVID testing at home. It's not reportable. So the CDC is not tracking this. They're tracking it by using wastewater and that. But I can tell you historically in the hospital, what we're seeing right now is a lot of individuals who were not vaccinated initially, but now we are seeing more of the secondary cases. In other words, they had the original vaccine, which was based on the original COVID virus, but never have gotten the booster since then, which is based on what we're seeing in the public. So it's a really good question when you talk about who are we seeing right now as being the sickest. It's those individuals who are never vaccinated or those who haven't gotten that booster and now are being exposed to the new variant.
Did I hear you say that the CDC is testing in wastewater?
Yes, absolutely. That's how we're testing for COVID right now.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Population.
What do you mean in wastewater?
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, wastewater, you know, water from our toilets goes to a central depository where the water is cleared, and we are testing the wastewater there for COVID, to test to see if COVID is in the population right now, because we're not tracking the screening in the hospitals, and we're not you know, we don't have any information on those who have tested at home, but we know that COVID is found in wastewater, and that will tell us, and actually can tell us, when it's going up in a community as to the rate of being found in the wastewater.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, enjoy your breakfast, everyone.
Sorry.
Jim, thanks for the call. That's kind of disgusting. But Kathy, you're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Good morning, Doctor. I'm so excited to be on there because I have a concern. I've had all four boosters. Believe it or not, I've had COVID four times, just most recently. I'm still like in the 12th day of it. But what my concern is, having heavy perspiration at night without a fever, and don't know how long that would continue or is that normal. I just haven't heard very many people talking about heavy night sweats.
Are you saying, is that a side effect of it? Is that basically?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kev, what do you think?
Yeah, Kathy. So often when we have night sweats, two things. One can be hormonal, so I'm not sure where you stand in that age range there. No offense put out there.
Beyond that.
Okay. Two, perspiration is a way for us to cool down. So often we will have a fever and not even know it and then have the sweats. So often during the day when we're walking around, just enough air moving around us will keep the fever at least manageable. But sometimes when we get in bed, have covers on, and you get a fever, now the body will have some perspiration. Day 12, though, you should really be getting rid of that. That should be kind of gone. So I would say if it continues, that at least getting into the doctor to have a blood test to see where your white blood cell count is to make sure that you don't have some other underlying infection there. And again, I want to make sure that everyone heard the message from you, right? You know, you've had all your boosters and you still have gotten this infection. That is very common. We have to understand that the booster is trying to prevent us from getting severe illness requiring hospitalization. We still get it, just like with influenza. We can still get influenza after having the shot. But hopefully the duration and the severity of the illness while you have it is much lower. So I hope you get better over the next 12 days. Nothing special about the perspiration besides that the body's trying to cool itself when it feels it has a temperature above what it needs.
Yeah, so that's good news there, Kathy, right?
Yes, thank you for all that information. It was wonderful. Have a happy holidays,
happy
both of you.
Happy holidays to you. Thank you for the call. Typically, how long, if somebody gets vaccinated, though, typically how long will side effects last, if they even occur in the first place?
Yeah, you know, most people with side effects, it's going to be 24 to 48 hours. I tell people, I'll tell you, I would rather have 2 days of a little muscle ache and a little low-grade fever than I would 10, 12, 14, like Kathy. She's at day 12 right now of her fourth infection and still having issues. So certainly I would take a day or two of discomfort over that. And I'll tell you, that's the same for influenza. It's the same for COVID. It's the same for shingles. Take the side effects for a day or two, knowing that you're going to have prevention from really the bad outcomes that those diseases have.
Yeah, you know, that's so interesting. Maybe the number one misnomer that I hear from people about COVID is I took the vaccination, but I still got COVID. It's not something that's going to prevent you from getting it. It's just going to lessen symptoms so you don't wind up in the hospital. That's what these boosters and vaccinations are about. Am I correct?
Absolutely. And we have to remember, COVID, you know, we have new variants now. So the vaccine is not 100% protective like it is with measles or mumps or rubella, where we know we're going to protect you from that. This is a virus that's going to continue to change. And that's why even with influenza, if you think about it, each year we're getting our influenza shot. It has four different strains in that shot. Why? Because the influenza virus changes every year.
Yeah.
We're seeing that with COVID as well. So we're going to, like you said, you'll have lower symptoms, less severity, and really, hopefully, a shorter duration.
815 area code texts in. I had COVID late October, a light case. I wanted to get the latest booster. How long do I have to wait?
Well, you know, you don't have to wait anything. You can get it if you'd like, but you do have great natural immunity right now. I mean, if you had it in late October, you're talking only a month, a little bit over a month and a half, or a little bit under a month and a half from the infection. So your natural immunity, as long as you were somewhat healthy and not immunocompromised, would be very good, at least for the next month and a half. But if you say, hey, you know what, I want to make sure that I have better protection, go ahead and get the vaccine, you might be an individual who's going to have a little bit more side effects because your immune system is already cranked up for it, and now you're going to try to crank it up again. But certainly natural immunity is great, and it's much more specific to the strain than the vaccine is because they're off a little bit. You've actually been exposed to what we're actually seeing in the public. The vaccine is about as close as we can get based on the information we had when we made the vaccine.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. Always good to talk to you, pal, and we'll chat soon. Have a great week.
You got it, Dean. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
And news from the Northwestern Medical Newsroom is next. Sound a little tired today. Are you a little tired today?
I am. I admit it.
You had trouble sleeping last night? Do you have some guilty conscience?
Yeah, I just...
Have you wronged somebody and your conscience won't let you rest?
Are you now taking up a degree in psychiatry?
On-air therapy, yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking about this for the new year, that we should do something we've never done on a show before. And offer counseling.
So you're Dr. Dean now.
Well, counseling and medical advice.
Oh, perfect.
Well, we get the medical advice and information from Dr. Most.
Yeah, I don't think we need him in the new year.
Oh.
Just kidding.
That's...
I'm kidding. We've had some budget cuts on the show. And
after a listener called in not a half hour ago and said how nice it was to see him at Tree Time.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people on the text line say that the show is a ray of sunshine.
Oh, really? I'm not sure we're going to say the show is.
Unfortunately, like a lot of companies, right before Christmas, we got to lay the hammer down. No, I would never. I love Dr. Kevin Most. But, you know, he's only on for half an hour. So
you're going to
we could
extend this in the 10 o'clock hour.
We could dispense medical advice for the whole show, even though I'm completely unqualified. Huh. I don't think you should let a little thing like degrees, you know, protocol get in the way of dispensing. You know, like if you were at a party and, you know, you said, oh, I'm not feeling well, somebody would offer you medical advice, right?
Sure. Take an aspirin or another drink.
That's all I'm going to do.
Just call it the medical malpractice segment.
I could change my name to malpractice.
Yeah, there you go.
Hi, everyone. Malpractice
Let's
here.
Get back to your problem. Don't try to divert the issue here. How come you were tossing?
I don't know. I had one of my spells of insomnia.
Did you have Taco Bell before you went to bed?
No, I did not. I did not have. I haven't had.
You got that a chalupa reaction.
Chalupa.
That's one of my favorite words.
No, I don't know. It was just one of those evenings. You know, everybody has them, you know, at some point or another, mm-hmm. where, you know, you've got a million things on your mind. Yeah. And then, of course...
What's on your mind? What's bothering you? That you had to see me today? Was that it?
Oh, doctor.
I think I may have solved the problem.
Or created another one.
I think Andy's got it there.
So did you try anything to go to sleep?
No, I don't do that. But getting up at 3 a.m.? No, if I take, you know, some sort of a sleeping pill.
Oh, no, I mean something to see. If I was your doctor, I would recommend something more holistic.
Mm-hmm. That's why you're not holistic.
You know what I like when I can't sleep? A little warm milk.
Really?
Yeah.
A little warm milk, huh?
Warm up a little milk. Take it.
Yeah, you wrap yourself up in a blanket and put on your slippers. And
like a swaddling. I wrap myself up.
You just sip the little warm milk.
Me Nike. Wow.
Oh, now I feel better.
You have a little warm milk? Put on an old episode of Andy Griffith?
There you go.
In La La Land for freaking no time. Oh, one of my favorite movies of all time, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. The genius Gene Wilder playing Willy Wonka. Tying it in this morning, because in a few minutes we're going to be talking with the cast of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which I saw out at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, their show that's running through like mid-January. Highly, highly, highly recommended to take the whole family out there to go see it. I met at the theater opening like a family of 10, 15. They bought tickets for the whole family, and they were there to see Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I didn't talk to them after the show, but I presume they enjoyed it because it's such a good production. But we've got some of the cast who will be coming in and joining us for a theater segment coming up in a few minutes. And as I was telling Andy and Shwani, that I'm just back from London, where I saw I was at the world premiere of the new Willy Wonka movie, which is simply called Wonka, a prequel to the Gene Wilder version of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. So, you know, it's all what led to Willy Wonka being, you know, the way that he was, a recluse inside that chocolate factory and the Oompa Loompas. What led to all of this is what's covered in this new movie. And this new movie is quite great, by the way. I'll be sharing those interviews, you know, coming up very, very soon. Did you know that we were talking about Cher having another number one song with her new Christmas song, her seventh number, her latest number one song. She has had number one songs in seven consecutive decades. And the only other musical act to ever achieve that, the Rolling Stones, you know they're coming to Chicago, right?
Yes.
They're going to be right in your neighborhood.
Yes. Shawnee. I'm also toying with the idea of trying to get a ticket way, way up top, because that's all I'll be able to afford.
Oh, come on. The tickets are only a few thousand dollars.
That's what I'm saying.
And you know people. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, they are going to be expensive. But it's going to be June 27th, and they just added a second show now on June the 30th. So Mick and the Boys at Soldier Field, June 27th and 30th, and tickets are on sale for that right now.
I was thinking about it several years ago when they were here, when Mick Jagger had the heart attack, and then they canceled the tour. Yeah. I was thinking about that, so it didn't happen then either.
Yeah, it's they put on quite a show, even still, mm-hmm. I mean, at their ages.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they pretty close to 80 years old?
They're up there, and 70s? Unfortunately, we lost the drummer here a year
Charlie
or two
Watts.
Ago. Charlie Watts is gone, yeah.
Yeah, it's that's unfortunate, but cool to be able to see them. And I did see them once at Soldier Field, and it was an incredible show.
Soldier's Field?
I'm not a big fan of Soldier's Field concerts because it's so big.
It's too big.
It's too big for
Soldier's Field, and I saw Michael Jackson at Kaminsky Park.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. Seriously, I did.
I never got to see Michael Jackson.
Yeah, the 1984 tour, right when the Thriller album was out.
Oh, fantastic.
Seriously, I did get to see that. Yeah.
Were you all dressed up like Michael Jackson?
No, I wasn't. Actually, I was there covering it as a news event.
But... Shwani going in there with like a red leather.
The one glove.
One glove and an I voted sticker on his.
Members only jacket.
It said,
would have been in fashion
back then. Said the sticker I wore that said Truman in 48.
Yeah. I voted Billie Jean is not my lover. Was it great?
It was. Yes, it really was. And this was okay. You make fun of me as being the old man and everything, but I would have to say that this was the beginning of the unbelievably stellar super shows that you see now on stage.
Yeah,
with
the big arena
big arena with Taylor Swift or Beyonce or that, because, you know, not only was the stage, you know, huge, the other brothers were there, and also, you know, everything on stage, but
wait,
it was...
the rest of the Jacksons were there, too?
Yeah, they were.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, you know, they did... I don't remember them doing any Jackson 5 songs, but many things from Thriller and Off the Wall and things like that. The crowd was out of their mind.
Did he do Dancing Machine?
Maybe.
Dancing.
Yeah,
Dancing Machine.
But I do remember it being really a spectacle. You know,
automatic, systematic.
Are you done?
Dancing my robot dance. That's cool.
Jack, go get him some warm milk, please.
It's one of the great regrets that I never got to see Michael Jackson.
I did. I did, and you didn't.
Oh, man. Here we go.
And put something in his warm milk besides honey. Oh, people, by the way, Shawnee, on our text line, people texting in sleeping remedies for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Someone said that you should listen to sleep stories on the Calm app.
The Calm, on the what?
Are you Calm app? I don't even know what that is. Do you
know?
Yeah,
it's a perfect, it's just one of these apps that you can, there's a section there for, they'll just read stories. It's either a man's voice or a women's voice. And there's white noise on there as well. Yeah.
The text it says here it'll help clear your mind so you can sleep.
Okay.
Put it on. You hear the seascape. You hear the wind, and then you hear my voice. Hi, Shawnee.
Oh, that's the nightmare right there.
Once upon a time, in a very distant world,
there was a far-flung forecast.
There were three boys that wanted to be on the radio.
Dean Diamond, who later was Dean Richards.
One built a house made of bricks. The other made a house of straw. Yeah, people got all kinds of...
What are some of the other ones?
Well, a lot of people have endorsed my hot milk.
They did?
Remedy.
Okay.
I'm surprised you've never heard that.
Oh, I have.
It's an old-fashioned.
Oh, sure. Sure. You know. Tea of sorts, a chamomile tea or a caffeine-free tea.
I love a chamomile tea.
Do you? Yeah. That works.
I'm getting sleepy just listening to you talk right now.
Let's record this.
Have you ever thought of recording your own voice?
Well, yeah, I have. Don't want to play it back, but I have.
Someone says that what is this? A dog voice?
A dog voice.
Can I have the Calmy app dog voice? See, we really should pre-read these texts before. That wouldn't be a good...
What's app? A dog voice?
I don't know.
What's a nap?
Okay.
What's a nap?
No. You said nap, right? We're talking about sleep?
Take a nap.
Okay.
Wouldn't mind that. So anyway, if you would like to help Shawnee get a good night's sleep, because he's grouchy today, he's tired, and I think he has a guilty conscience about something. Have you wronged somebody? I'm going to take your silence as a yes.
You're going to take my silence as a yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
you're
going to hang out the shingle, as they say, by the studio door there?
We're going to do that next year. Starting. Okay. It's going to be our big year for
Dr. Dean.
Completely unqualified medical advice.
Followed, you know, this follows Dr. Most with totally qualified
medical. Right. Yeah, this will be the segment that's right after.
I hope
Dr.
he wasn't
Most.
Listening when you said that
I'm going to fire him.
Yeah, yeah.
I guarantee you, he was already on the golf course by the
even today.
Usually within usually within 2 minutes of him saying goodbye to me.
With the lousy weather we're having, he's out on the golf course.
Have you met Dr. Kevin Most? He's out there when there's a blizzard.
I know. He really. Yeah.
He's one of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take another little sip of more milk here. Okay, good night.
Andy, could you pull the blanket up?
I'm going to pull it up over his head here.
You're closer. And put the pillow over his head.
I can't say that. That would be premeditated.
Now you're having coffee, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
The anti-sleep.
Fully caffeinated coffee, too.
That's good, genius. Apparently, I'm not the only one dispensing unqualified advice. Well, I hope you have a better night's sleep.
Okay. All right. So do I pay you now or later?
I scanned your insurance card.
Oh, you did?
I wanted to talk about holiday parties because we're in holiday party time of year. And the do's and don'ts of holiday parties. Because, you know, a lot of people are going to be going to friends, family, office parties. Office parties are going to be in full mode over the next couple of weeks. And things that you should do and not do. Are there any pet peeves? This is my pet peeve for holiday parties. Because usually they put, you know, like food out someplace, mm-hmm. right? Or appetizers or snacks or, you know, something like that. And you see people sticking their dirty paws into the food. You know, and like double dipping, even though that's a Seinfeld joke.
Yeah.
People do that all the time. And with their dirty, nasty, saliva-filled fingers, that's my number one pet peeve.
Even if there are tongs available to grab the food and put it on their plate.
They still stick their hoof right mm-hmm. Right in the food.
Yep.
It's gross.
And I've seen you pull up a chair next to the table.
Well, I bring my own feed bag when I go to... Whenever I attend a party,
no, seriously, I know what you mean. I know what you mean there. Yeah,
it's gross.
That's just like people eating bags of potato chips as they stand in the checkout line to pay for them.
Yeah, that's
in the grocery store.
You know what? I'm funny about that too. I don't feel like you should eat the food in the store.
I've seen people eat ice cream in the store.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know, they'll find a plastic spoon by the salad bar.
Or they'll bring it themselves.
Or they'll bring it themselves and eat the ice cream as they're standing in the line waiting to pay for it.
Right. Well, I had intended, had we not gotten into diagnosing Schwani's narcolepsy, I had intended to talk about holiday party etiquette. But can we do it at 11? Will you both still be here then?
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, good. Then we can speak freely then. Still to come on the program today, super special A-list interview for you. About an hour from now, it will be Bradley Cooper and Carey Mulligan. They are the stars of what I think is the best movie of 2023 so far. I haven't seen everything that's going to come out over the holiday season yet, but I think... one of the very, very best that's going to get a lot of attention at the Academy Awards is this movie that opened in extremely limited theaters this past Friday, Maestro. It's the story of the world-famous conductor Leonard Bernstein, the story of his professional but, moreover, his personal life and his relationship with his wife, Francesca, who is magnificently played by Carey Mulligan. I was in New York? Los Angeles the week before last, and sat down and talked with them one-on-one. I'll share that conversation with you and tell you what I think about this movie, Maestro, as well. The reason why it is only in limited theaters, and I may be wrong about this, but I think I'm right that it is in exactly one theater only, the Landmark Century on the north side.
I saw it Friday.
What'd you think?
Oh, riveting.
Magnificent, right?
Riveting. Yeah, absolutely.
At the Landmark? Is that where you were?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
On North Clark Street.
I know it's only in one theater.
That's the only one I could find.
For right now, because it's being put out by Netflix, in order for it to qualify for an Academy Award, it has to play in traditional theatrical settings first. So they've opened it all over the country in like one theater in each city for now. But in a couple of weeks, it's going to be on Netflix. So you'll definitely be able to see it that way. But seeing it on big screen, how about Bradley Cooper's conducting the New York Philharmonic Orchestra? Wasn't that stunning?
He had to learn. It took him, what, 5 years or 6 years?
That's what he said.
Learning the technique? Yeah.
That's what he said.
Oh, yeah. It was just amazing.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Totally amazing.
I'm glad you liked it.
And you mentioned Carey Mulligan. Astounding performance.
Both of them are Oscar-worthy performances.
Yeah.
But the way Bradley Cooper co-wrote the story, he directed the movie, He produced the movie. We'll cover all of it coming up in about an hour in my one-on-one conversation with both Bradley Cooper and Carey Mulligan coming up. That is Stephen Schellhart, who stars as Willy Wonka in the production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. We've been talking about that's out at the Paramount Theater and Aurora through the holidays, actually past the new year, all the way until January the 14th. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, if you weren't familiar with it first from the Roald Dahl novel, the book, you certainly were from the 1971 version of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory that starred Gene Wilder, a truly, truly classic film. And it is that film that the production at the Paramount, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, is based. It is fun. It is whimsical. It is extremely nostalgic. If you're familiar with the book or the original movie, and even the Johnny Depp version, which was a little darker, but this stage version is much, much closer to the Gene Wilder version. And the portrayal of Willy Wonka by Stephen Schellhart as Willy is very Gene Wilder-like. He does such a great job of bringing that whole character to life. But the story is about Charlie. And in this particular production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, there are two actors that alternate the role of Charlie Bucket, and they are Mina Sood and Charlie Long. And they both join us on the telephone right now because they've got two performances out in Aurora today, and we weren't going to drag them all the way down here to downtown Chicago. But hello to both of you. Very, very nice to have you with us.
Hello.
And let me ask you both just about your experience in theater and what you've done before, and also just so our audiences can hear your voice and distinguish who is who. So, Mina, why don't you start off and tell us a little bit about some of the things that you have done on stage?
This is my second time being back at the Paramount Theater. The most previous show that I did at the Paramount was School of Rock, which Charlie was also in. And I did a Shrek at Drury Lane and a Christmas Story at the Marriott Theater in Lincolnshire.
Very nice. Yeah. May I ask your age?
I'm 12.
12 years old. And Charlie happened to be in the role of Charlie Bucket the night that I saw the show. And Charlie, you were fantastic, just really great. But tell us a little about what you've done and you've accomplished.
I'm 12 years old, and I started acting when I was really little, around like 5, I'd say. Wow. I started with youth theater, community theater. And then my first professional show was The Sound of Music at the Paramount, which was a really fun show. So great to do over the holidays. And then I did School of Rock at the Paramount with Mina, like she said. That was such a fun rock out show. And then this one is my third professional show, and it's such a blast so far.
That's so cool that at 12 years old, both of you, being able to take on these roles and take such command of stage, of the show. You're such a pivotal part of the show. It's not unusual when there are child actors to alternate the roles. I guess there are rules, right, and regulations. That you can't work a certain number of days, certain number of hours,
yeah.
et cetera.
Yeah,
but it is unusual that when there is a primary role like this, to have two different actors of two different genders performing this. And Mina, I imagine that this is something that people must talk to you about quite a bit, being a young lady playing the role of Charlie Bucket. Why not? It makes perfect sense. What are people saying to you about it, and how do you feel about taking on this role, which is a traditional male role, boy role, and you taking it on full throttle?
So when I'm on stage, Charlie Bucket is a girl, so they refer to her as a girl, and I think it's really special that they have Charlie Bucket being portrayed by two different genders. Because it's just really, it's very inclusive, and it just shows that, a girl can be a chocolatier just as a boy can do it too.
Yeah, I'll bet you hear from young ladies, young girls who are so happy to see a girl in this role, right? And that you're representing them on stage with this story.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Like, what do they say to you? What have some of the audience members said to you?
Every time that I see a person in the audience, like after the show, they're always like, "Oh my god, I think it's very cool that you're playing Charlie Bucket, and you did an amazing job." And they're always very shocked that the Charlie Bucket, the actor, is a girl. Even like the first time they see me on stage, they're like, "Oh my god, it's not a boy."
Yeah, right. Right. I have to come back and see you in it because, as I say, the night that I happened to be there, it was Charlie Long, who was taking on the role. But I would love to see you do it. I would love to see the other side of this. So, Charlie Long, tell me, how familiar were you with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and this whole thing? I mean, for old guys like me, it's something that we all grew up with. But what about for you?
Well, I think it's really special because when I was like really little, I did a Willy Wonka kids version of this, and I played Charlie Bucket. But it was like a really, really, really short, like 30-minute one, and it wasn't really that big. But I played Charlie Bucket, and that was super cool to like look back. Like I was doing that. Like that was super big at the time. But now I'm doing it on the Paramount stage, and just to like do that there, it's surreal.
Yeah, are there special moments in this show that you like best? Because you're on stage virtually the entire time, I think.
Yeah. I probably definitely have some favorite parts. One would definitely include the Oompa Loompas coming out for the first time. I love just watching the audience reacting to that. Every night, it's amazing. Golden Ticket's a great number. I think the view from here at the very end when Charlie Bucket and Wonka fly in the air.
Right.
That's just such a pretty number. And of course, flying in the air, it's just super cool.
It's got to be super fun. I thought about that when you and Willie, Stephen Shellhart, you're getting the balloon and, take off. It's like, just as actors, young actors, especially you as a 12-year-old, it's got to be fun to just be flying around the theater like that.
Yeah.
Mina, how about for you? Do you have favorite moments in the show?
Yeah, like Charlie said, I think Golden Ticket is such a powerful number. And I also really like when Charlie Bucket is writing a letter to Willy Wonka. It really shows how creative Charlie is, and there's so much imagination, and he's just creating a bunch of inventions for Willy Wonka to write, hoping that he might return to his letter.
Yeah, you might say pure imagination, right?
Yeah.
Because there are a few signature songs in here that, the people of a certain age will connect with from the original motion picture. The other thing that I liked about this, and I'm going to ask you both to comment, I've wondered how they were going to create the inside of Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. And, this world of pure imagination, as the song goes. But they do. It's got to be wild for both of you as actors to be right in the middle of all that and performing and playing and being around all of this visual creativity. Charlie, is it fun for you?
Well, it's a literal playground on stage. Of course it's fun. And I just think every time during Pure Imagination, when the factory is revealing itself and the audience is just has their minds blown by the factory.
Yeah.
Every night, that's just like a special moment for me. And then just like getting to play in the factory for the rest of the show. So fun.
Yeah. It's gotta be fun. Mina, how about for you?
Yeah, I think that the way that the Paramount shows all the cool rooms, I think it's so cool because it's such a giant stage, but the set is so impressive. Like, there's so many moving pieces that go on and off the stage that make it feel like a whole different world in each scene. So it's so fun. In a matter of like seconds, it's a whole different like setting.
Yeah, what I also liked is how they recreated many of, you know, what happens to the other kids who are had the golden ticket and got to come inside the factory. Their fates, you know, what happened to them, that were easier to do, I think, on film with special effects. Took a little more creativity to do some of those things on stage, but that's what comes to life during this whole thing. Last week, I went to the world premiere of this new Wonka movie that's coming out. You know, the prequel. Have you guys heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of that. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, with Timothy Chalamet. I saw it, and it's amazing. And I'm telling people, go to see this show at the Paramount and get caught up and reminded, because when you go to see this movie, the movie is about how Willy Wonka got to be the way that he is. So it's going to bring back a lot of seeing this play, your musical, is going to just be a good reminder before you go see this movie. Congratulations to both of you on this. You do a great job. I look forward to coming and seeing your performance in it, Nina. And I thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was really fun.
Mina Sood and Charlie Long, who both play Charlie Bucket in this production of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And our longtime pal, Gene Weingant, is Grandpa Joe in the show. He joins us after a break. Stick around. 10:52, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. And let me just say you're welcome for putting this earbug in your head that you'll be singing all day long today. Oompa Loompa. In this new movie, Wonka, Hugh Grant, through special effects, plays an Oompa Loompa and is hilarious and kind of steals the movie a little bit. There is a whole cast of Oompa Loompas in this production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory that is out at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. But one of the standout performances in the show is the young actor who plays Grandpa Joe in the show. In the movie, it was Jack Albertson, and in the stage production, our longtime pal. It's so great to see Gene Weingant on stage in this role. Hello there, my friend. I cannot even remember the last time that I talked to you, but I know it's been way too long.
It has been too long, but it's always great to talk with you, Dean. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very, very well, and just up to my neck in wonkiness right now between your show and this movie that I went to the world premiere. So much fun. Why do you think Charlie and the Chocolate Factory resonates after all of these years with people?
You know, my first guess at that would be because it's a little bit of something for everybody, and I often think that adults sort of forget how lightly kids can really take some of the horrors of this story. They understand that it's not very serious. But there are also some really sweet moments throughout the show, throughout the musical, and some really lovely ideas about imagination and that sort of thing. That's my guess.
Yeah. Now I was taken with the creativity in staging the show because you know it's so fantastic and. Almost sci-fi like on a movie theater screen, they can do it all with special effects. On stage, it's a little bit different. So, I mean, talk to me a little bit about what they've been able to do in staging this production of Charlie out there.
Trent Stork, the director, and Casey Alfonso, our choreographer, particularly had such a great touch on this and great understanding of what makes it work, and the two of them together and their zany senses of humor, and then you combine that with Jeff Kmeck's setting and Ryan Park's beautiful, fantastic costumes, and then, and on top of it, our truly wonderful and completely insane ensemble of dancers and singers who just bring so much to this every night and make the whole world of Willy Wonka and Charlie Bucket come to life. They are just amazing. This ensemble is worth the price of admission.
I agree. It's a really fun show. And, you know, this time of year, people are looking to take their families to go see shows. The night that I was there to see your show, I met a family. There must have been like 10, 15 people. The entire family came to see the show.
Yeah.
And it's this really is kind of the perfect show for that kind of event, to take the family, a night of old-fashioned theater. You can't beat it.
It really seems so. I noticed the other day as I was walking into the theater, a family of mom and dad and their teenage son, who looked to be 16 years old, give or take, and obviously coming to the theater together. And then last night we had some very young children right in the front row. We can kind of see into the front row sometimes. And all of them just mesmerized by the whole extravaganza, their eyes just wide. One of the little boys kind of sitting up on his knees, and his dad beside him just having a ball. During Jay Ladymore's beautiful, beautiful ballad, If Your Father Were Here, you know, right. The grandparents looked down from their bed up above.
Right.
And we could see a mom yesterday in the matinee reach over and take her teenage son's hand, or young teen. And the child reached back and put his hand on top of his mom's. And we all fell apart.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a great show for families.
Yeah, you're doing well. I one of my longtime favorite actors in the Chicago area. Of course, you've done things outside of Chicago as well. But anytime I see your name attached to a show, I know it's going to be good. I know there's going to be high quality. You always deliver, and you sure do here as Grandpa Joe.
Well, thank you, Dean. I'm having a ball doing this. I keep saying I haven't had this much fun doing a show since I didn't know any better.
I love it. Well, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is out at the Paramount in Aurora through January 14th. And you can get ticket information at ParamountAurora.com, 630-896-6666. And Gene Weingant, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I hope we see you and we can chat one-on-one sometime soon, my friend.
I'd love that. Almost any time, Dean. It's always a pleasure talking with you. Have a wonderful day and wonderful holiday season.
Enjoy your shows today. Thank you. You too. So nice to hear that things are going well for the Big Toys for Tots campaign. Going on this morning, all those motorcycles. How many motorcycles have we heard?
I haven't seen a specific count, but there's usually hundreds. Hundreds, maybe even thousands. Yeah.
And all on Western Avenue.
Western Avenue, starting at 83rd and Western at the Dan Ryan Woods. They start there every year and then go really almost all the way up to the north end of the city every year.
Western Avenue is the longest running street in the city of Chicago, as we all know.
That in Halsted, yeah.
I think Western beats.
Western does.
I believe.
Yeah.
I believe Western is.
You would know. You grew up not far.
On the streets.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that too.
Boy of the streets. My family kept moving, but I found them every time.
But yeah, it's the 46th Toys for Tots motorcycle parade.
That's nice. It's cool seeing these. You know, these bikers, these Hell's Angels looking kind of guys
out often, there, yeah,
out there with teddy bears strapped to their to their rigs. It's really nice. I wanted to bring to the attention something really nice that the Village of Rosemont is also doing today. The Village and their mayor, Brad Stevens, along with the Nutcracker Magical Christmas Ballet, will present a $20,000 donation today to Advocate Children's Hospital in Park Ridge as part of the Rosemont's first ever Nutcracker Village Public Art Project. 20 businesses have sponsored life-size nutcrackers that'll be custom painted by local artists there at, you know, Rosemont's always super pretty, right? In the wintertime, they put up spectacular decorations. I see them, you know, when I'm riding on the Kennedy or on the tollway right around there. I'm big into the Christmas decorations this year. Have you noticed?
I have noticed that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking about it last month already at tree time when we were there.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't have one thing up at my house.
I don't either. Not yet.
Hey, you just got to take it down in a couple of weeks anyway. No, I'm kidding. Sort of.
Sort of. Sort of.
Anyway, the check presentation is going to take place today. Let's see here. Between 4:30 and 5:30 at the Rosemont Theater, 5400 North River Road, between the two performances of Nutcracker Magical Christmas Ballet. But that's a nice donation, right? $20,000.
Oh, yeah.
For the Advocates Children's Hospital in Park Ridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great donation.
Yep. All right, maybe I'll put up some decorations today. Now I feel good.
Now that you're in the mood for it.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far exactly. But
but you're going to be, by the, you know, the Christmas week, you're going to be like Mr. Weaver on Andy.
Here we go.
Christmas.
Who had 11-10 in the pool.
The first Andy Griffith show mentioned? Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I didn't mention
you know,
the...
Wait a minute, wait. Andy, do you know the episode that he's even talking about?
I have no clue.
This is. Have you seen the Andy Griffith Christmas episodes?
I have not.
Well, you haven't?
No.
You all right in there, Dean?
It's a classic.
You haven't?
It's a classic where this the grouchy old... What's the guy's name, Mr. Weaver?
Mr. Weaver runs the department store.
He's the grouchy old man who runs the department store, and he's mad. So he gets himself put in jail, right? And then...
Well, the reason he was mad is because he caught someone moonshining.
Oh,
and Andy let him go.
Wasn't gonna
put Christmas
him in jail,
Eve. Right? Wasn't going to put him in jail.
And there. Mr. Weaver insisted that he did.
Mm-hmm.
So he arrests the guy and then arrests his family, so the family can be together in jail.
Ah,
and
wow.
They're having a Christmas party in the jail, and Mr. Weaver's outside in the cold.
Steals the bench outside the courthouse
because he wants to get arrested to come in, but Andy won't arrest him.
Where was Otis during all this?
Otis isn't in that one.
Okay. He vacated his cell for them, huh?
Mr. Weaver peeking in the jail window.
Singing along with Away in a Manger,
and
too.
Watching Aunt B putting out a full Christmas spread.
Oh, that food looked so good.
Ellie, Andy's girlfriend.
Yes, that was, yeah, Ellie, way before Helen.
Way before Helen Crump.
Helen was doing graduate work, getting her master's degree, yeah. So she could teach in Mayberry.
Andy, could you stage an intervention for us? Clearly, both of us have a huge problem that we need to...
Well, we didn't get to talk about the one where Barney gets the motorcycle with the sidecar. We've been talking about the parade here.
And we didn't talk about Barney dressing up as Santa either, because
no.
That's a big part.
I know it.
Andy, please, somebody stage an intervention for us. Coming up on the show, my Dean's List A-List interview... My full interview with Bradley Cooper and Carey Mulligan, Chicago exclusive interviews with the two stars of the upcoming movie Maestro, the Leonard Bernstein movie. I think the best movie of the year so far. It's amazing. Sadly, only in one theater at the moment, but coming to Netflix in a couple of weeks. But I'm going to call the Netflix, Shawnee, and tell them that you saw it and loved it. Maybe they'll put it on a movie poster. Shawnee approved.
I did indeed, yes.
Dave Schwann says, I liked it.
I think your name should get top billing, though.
I think, I'm serious. I've seen quite a few. I haven't seen all the movies of the year. That's why I'm saying best movie of the year so far. Because there still may be something that I haven't seen yet that is about to come out in the next week or so. But it's a stunning movie. I mean, it's right up there with, some of my other top movies of the year: Oppenheimer, the Martin Scorsese movie is amazing. I liked Napoleon. I didn't love it. I liked it, but I think it's still worth seeing on a big screen because it's visually it's spectacular. I saw The Color Purple, the new version of The Color Purple, which is another amazing, amazing, amazing movie. They did such a good job in recreating that. So we'll be talking about all the Christmas movies that are coming out. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Christmas parties and holiday parties. Hanukkah starts next Friday, Andy? Saturday?
It actually starts Thursday night.
Thursday night.
December 7th.
Okay, all right. So, you know, there are going to be a lot of parties, a lot of family get-togethers, friends. And, you know, what are the faux pas that we should try to avoid for holiday parties? I had mentioned one that I noticed where, you know, just I know I'm a little bit of a germaphobe, but when there's food out in a buffet setting, don't stick your fingers in the food.
Yeah.
If there's shrimp, don't stick your fingers in the shrimp to get a shrimp. You're touching the other ones. Or, you know, a bowl of crackers or nuts or, you know, something. Almost all the time now, spoons are provided. Use the spoons
mm-hmm.
and put the food on your plate, and then you can, you know, put your face into it. But the double dipping, I've noticed it. It grosses me out. It's just disgusting. It's like putting your tongue right in the dish. Right?
It's truth.
Or am I being, like, super paranoid?
It's disgusting. I mean, that's why the fork and the spoon is there.
Yeah. What's your pet peeve? Got one?
I've got a few of them. And I just, you know, you watch people not only, putting their fingers and stuff into this stuff, but having this spirited conversation right over where the food is.
Oh, so the spitting.
And, yeah, they're yelling and screaming and, you know, trying to talk to each other. And there's always one or two people that just can't hold back with the liquor and just ruin it for everybody.
I was gonna say the drunkies at the party.
Yeah, there's always a couple of drunkies that just kind of ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, the drunkies that are like and they're in your face. They're like 2 inches away from your face.
Exactly. And asking the same question over and over again.
You know what I think? I never liked your Victory Auto Records commercial. I thought it was stupid. And that door falls off every time. Which, by the way, Victory Auto Records is now officially closed, by the way. So,
where'd you get those pants?
There's bell bottoms. Schwani, holiday party,
I think
pet peeves?
Both of you have covered all the bases for me. You know, the grabbing of the food, people talking to you 2 inches away with their mouth full of food.
Right.
And too much to drink. Yeah, you've covered it all.
How about using
really?
The trash can? Just leave your stuff all over someone's house.
Oh, right. Yeah.
People drop stuff.
Dirty plates and used napkins piled on top of it. Right. Yeah.
It doesn't take much of an effort to stand up and find the garbage can.
Oh, I agree.
Be a good guest, will you?
Right? Disgusting.
Well, exactly. You're a guest in someone's house.
Right. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Be on your best behavior,
right,
Dean.
All right, so I put 10 or 12 shrimp in my pocket. Is that bad?
Well, you need some for later. You don't have to make the trip.
Especially since they're a week old, yes.
I used the tongs. I didn't say anything about bringing your own Tupperware.
Oh, yeah.
I actually know somebody who has done that.
I do, too.
On food, where there are food buffets.
They brought their own containers?
They literally brought their own Tupperware.
Oh, wow.
So they could make themselves. You know how people will say, oh, take some food home, make a plate. Mm-hmm. They brought their own Tupperware.
Yeah. No plate needed. They got their own.
They brought their own Tupperware. Oh, which I guess, I mean, if somebody's going to say make a plate, I guess it's better if you
and they have a big canvas bag to carry it out.
They have their own crew.
Trough.
There you go.
They bring their own caterers with them. I don't care for that. What else don't I care for? The food is like nothing grosses me out more. Where, you know, you want to You want to, like, you know, you also want to enjoy the food. But after I see somebody put their paws in the food, then it's like, ugh, I'll stop at White Castle's on the way home.
How about the guest that wanders the house?
Mm.
You know, and starts to look for stuff or whatever.
I've got to leave the room now. So. Yeah.
Just going into, like, the private areas.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everybody's gathered in a couple specific areas more than likely. And then, you know, they kind of assume that you know that, hey, there's a bathroom down here. Don't go upstairs.
Right.
Because, you know, the kids may be up there if they're having a party or whatever.
Right.
You know,
right. So just, how about kids? What about the question of kids? I mean, some people will say adults only party.
Yeah.
Right.
But what about if it's not like that? Do you bring the kids or do you find a sitter for the kids? What's the proper protocol?
Well, if I had kids.
It depends on how long you're going to be out, actually.
Yeah, if I had kids, I'd say sitter because I don't want to be, I want to stay out.
Yeah. Well, you want to have a good time. Yeah,
exactly.
Also.
You don't have to worry about them.
And, you know, probably whoever's hosting the party isn't so crazy about having Junior.
Right. Putting his hands in the shrimp.
Yeah. Here's a story for you.
How about kids that put their hands in the shrimp while they're smoking and they're drunk? That's a bad combination. Right?
Very.
Yeah.
Then the question becomes, how do you get the cocktail sauce out? With the shrimp,
that's
then.
True. That's true. What were you going to say before interrupted?
This is a true story. Some people I knew were having a party. It wasn't a holiday party. It was just a, you know, people over, and an individual who liked to roam the house, you know, go into the kitchen and go into various rooms, took it a step further. He went into the kitchen, then they opened the freezer, and then he found a half gallon of ice cream.
What?
And then he found a spoon and started to eat it from the carton.
That's gross.
Really gross.
Mm-hmm.
Who goes in someone's refrigerator? And into your freezer?
Someone who has no
manners.
Manners.
Yeah.
It was not me.
Or people that just like, you know, they roam the house, like Andy's saying, and they go into, like, private areas. It's like, oh, where did you get this baseball trophy?
Yeah, exactly.
That was in my bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, after they bring it out of the room.
Where it should stay, yes.
Yeah. I mean, even if the coats aren't in the bedroom. I mean, frequently, you know, you lay all the coats on the bed, which I'm also not crazy about, but I know sometimes you have to do that. Because I always feel like I'm going to get somebody's head lice.
Mm.
I am super crazy.
I guess.
Germaphobe.
No, with the food, though, especially in light of what we've gone through in the last few years, with what's going on around now with all of the respiratory, we're all sneezing in here this morning, you know, and the other day I was at a place where everybody was sick. Yeah, you do want to be careful.
Yeah. Well, I blame all that sneezing in the newsroom on your policy that everyone must kiss when they come to work. Shawnee thinks he's creating an affectionate environment, but it's really very awkward for
a very strange tradition.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to go along with this,
you notice,
Andy?
That's why Andy comes in like an hour late.
Exactly.
To try to...
I just say, okay.
He waits
and has his own room.
They'll forget about it at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's a reason why Andy has pretended like he's had a cold for the last two and a half years.
It's like the old Family Feud, you know, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
Richard Dawson kissing everybody
coming in the newsroom. 847 area code. Back in the day, I worked at Boston Seafood Party. Remember that place?
Yeah, sure.
Boston, was it Boston Tea Party? What was it called?
I think it was Boston Sea Party. Seafood restaurant.
They had buffet tables of cold and hot seafood. And we had a woman who came in and started dumping clams and oysters in her purse.
Oh wow.
In a plastic bag.
Oh. Well, that's just like you said. No, she forgot the Tupperware.
Yeah.
So she's going to use her purse.
I mean, I'd watch my grandma every once in a while, you know, put some sweet and low or maybe a roll, but not clams and oysters.
No. Yeah. No. When after my mother passed away, I found thousands of packets of Splenda in her eyes. So I know she didn't buy them. So I will just apologize to the Illinois Restaurant Association now. I'm sure my mother caused a great financial
upheaval
in the theft of Splenda over the last several years. How about you just use some common sense when you go to a... office party especially, you know, work parties especially.
Oh, yeah.
Extra good behavior.
Yeah. You want to be invited back, right?
Even if they're serving drinks at an office party, I will never have an alcoholic beverage at an office event, ever. I just think it's not good.
Yeah, I might have one and just kind of hang
even
out
if
to it all night.
Even if it's after business hours.
I just don't.
I don't blame you.
I don't want to be drunk around
you
people.
Yeah.
My behavior is bad enough when I'm
just
sober.
You said it. Yeah, I didn't.
Can I give a real quick sports story here? There's something kind of breaking here the college football playoff rankings. Uh-oh. Are being announced right now, the final ones. Michigan, number one. Washington, number two. Texas, number three. Alabama, fourth. So those four teams will be competing for the national championship. The 5 and 6 teams, Florida State and Georgia. Georgia was number one as of this time last week, but lost to Alabama yesterday. So it's Michigan, Washington, Texas, and Alabama. So Michigan plays Alabama, and Washington will play Texas, and the two winners will face off for the national championship.
Any surprises in that?
Yeah, lots of them, actually. I mean, Texas made a good showing. There was a lot of talk that Florida State might be that last team because of their win yesterday, but Alabama seems to have gotten in there because of their win over Georgia yesterday in the SEC championship game. So no surprise with Washington, no surprise with Michigan to me, but 3 and 4 were kind of up for debate after yesterday.
Okay, so we hear more, we'll let you know. Stick around for that. Do you remember the Leonard Bernstein Young People's Concerts?
I grew up on them.
Me too.
I grew up on them.
Was it Sunday afternoon?
Sunday afternoon.
Is that what I remember?
Yes.
I remember being mesmerized as the great conductor, Leonard Bernstein, would explain classical music. He would explain the thoughts behind the music that he was playing. And it was so interesting and informative. And really, it was sort of my introduction to classical music.
Yeah, he even used a Beatles song to do it once.
Yeah,
yeah. And this larger-than-life individual, just conducting the orchestra in this amazing music as a result. Yeah.
I would say that my introduction to any kind of classical music was Leonard Bernstein. Well, him and Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, right.
Killed a lot of people. Kill the wabbit.
Yeah.
In the interview that you're going to hear in a few minutes with Bradley Cooper, he talks about being influenced
by Kill the Rabbit
by Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny.
So the guy who very likely is going to win an Oscar this year for playing Leonard Bernstein.
I think Carey Mulligan's going to get nominated.
Carey Mulligan. Oh, they're
best actress.
Definitely.
Too.
They're definitely going to get nominated. They're so good. But Bradley Cooper, on top of that, directs this movie called Maestro. He co-wrote it and also produced the movie. So I think he's going to walk away with at least one statue this year because it's that good of a movie. When I was in Los Angeles talking to him, and I just joked, as I always do, that everything I know about classical music I learned from Bugs Bunny. He also said
the same thing.
That as a little kid, he was obsessed with it from those cartoons where they would use classical music. Because it
and
was
very cleverly, too.
Very cleverly, but also because it was in the public domain and they didn't have to pay for it.
They didn't have to pay. Okay, sure.
So that was part of the reason that they did it. But we all grew up with listening to that music that when we heard in a concert setting later, you went, wait a minute, I know that song from Bugs Bunny.
It's from a cartoon.
From a cartoon. I didn't know Beethoven wrote in cartoons. But these Young People's Concerts were amazing, and if you're not familiar with them, I strongly urge you. Most of them are on YouTube. You can go check these out. They're so interesting. You'll learn a lot about Leonard Bernstein himself, as you will in this new movie that's called Maestro, which, Chwani, you saw and you loved.
Oh, yeah.
I did. I'm impressed that you went to see a first-run movie.
I did. Two things. The theater was almost full, by the way.
That's the only theater showing the movie in the Chicago area. Right?
Yeah, and people were buying tickets. I had mine already, but I was in the ticket line, and the person behind the counter said, things are starting to fill up here. You better choose your seat pretty quickly.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, yeah. But Leonard Bernstein was one of the great, great musical figures of the 20th century.
Absolutely.
And I have to say, Dean, I had the very good fortune of seeing him in person, too.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah.
Performing?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And where did this take place?
Right here in Chicago. I saw him four times.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He came on tour in 1976. Then I saw him again in 1984. And then he conducted the Chicago Symphony in 1988.
Yeah. I think that was his last appearance.
It was.
Was that at Ravinia?
Yeah. No, it was downtown, right here, Orchestra Hall.
Orchestra Hall, okay. His last appearances in the Chicago area were about the late 80s.
Year and a half before he died.
Yeah, and what a life. What a character. I mean, this movie talks about his professional and personal life, his very unconventional marriage to his wife, Felicia, played by Carey Mulligan in the movie. And it's fascinating, and the music, the interweaving of the music of this movie, they did such a good job.
He also worked very closely with Leonard Bernstein's children on this. I mean, they gave it their blessing.
Yeah, who I also interviewed. We're going to share that interview with all three of
you. Talked to them too.
Talked to Bernstein's kids.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I sure did. Wow, I didn't know that you were such a super fan.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
Cool.
Like I said, from watching those young people's concerts and all through the 70s and the 80s, yeah.
Look how multidimensional you are.
Leonard Bernstein and Michael Jackson.
And Andy Griffith.
And Andy Griffith.
And Ralph Cramden. That is the Dave Schwann story. It's 11:42. Dean Richards, Sunday morning at WGN. One of the greatest pieces of music ever composed. George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, here being performed by Leonard Bernstein on piano with the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, which he conducted. That was his home stage. That was at Lincoln Center. That was the theater at which I saw the premiere of the movie Maestro in New York. This was actually during the actor strike. And Bradley Cooper and the cast of the movie was not able to talk to us at that time because the strike was going on, and the terms of the strike didn't allow the actors to do any publicity for their movies. So at that time, I interviewed Leonard Bernstein's children to talk about their dad and what it was like growing up as Lenny's kids. But now the strike ended, and the week before last, I went to Los Angeles, where I did get to sit down with Bradley Cooper and Carey Mulligan and talk about this amazing movie, Maestro, which is the story of both the professional but moreover the personal life of one of the greatest conductors of all time. The story is focused on his relationship with his wife, Felicia, played by in this movie. By Carey Mulligan, and they're both amazing. I predict they both will be nominated for Academy Awards. I haven't seen everything yet, so I'm not quite ready to make a prediction on who will win, but it is an Oscar-worthy movie, and of the movies that I have seen so far this year, I think Maestro is the best one that I've seen so far, and I've seen some great ones. The Martin Scorsese movie, Oppenheimer, is amazing. The Color Purple is amazing. There's a long list, but Maestro just hits all cylinders running on so many levels. I think it's just great. And the incorporation of the music in this film is also quite special as well, with Bradley Cooper taking years, as he will hear in the interview in a moment, talking about how long it took him to learn to conduct an orchestra, and what a lifelong ambition that was of his, and lifelong interest it was of his to conduct an orchestra. It's very, very interesting, and how Carey Mulligan got brought into this project. But both of them bring such passion and emotion and depth into their performances and telling the story of one of the greatest musical figures of all time, certainly one of the greatest conductors of all time, and without a doubt, one of the greatest American conductors of all time, Leonard Bernstein. Now, this movie is playing only in one theater right now. It's at the Landmark Century Theater on North Clark Street. Why is it only in one theater right now? Because it has to, in order for it to qualify for Academy Award consideration, it has to be shown theatrically. So it has to be in some theaters. But this movie is produced by Netflix. So their intention is to run it on Netflix to get you to go online and stream the movie. So beginning on December the 20th, Maestro will then become available on Netflix. I don't believe it's going to be with any sort of extra premium. If you have Netflix, you'll be able to watch it. But for now, here in the Chicago area, sorry, one theater. I hate when they do that. I don't know why they couldn't just put it into, you know, one theater in each part of the Chicago area. You know, one south suburban, west suburban, in the city, north suburban, northwest. You know, why couldn't they put it in a half a dozen theaters? That I don't get, just to make it a little more convenient for people. But they want people to come and see it on Netflix. So, you know, it's their business. And I guess their decision to make. But that's the way it is right now. One theater for now, starting December 20th on Netflix, you will be able to see the movie Maestro, which I cannot recommend any higher. I gave it a Dean's List A. I think it's so great. And when we come back from the break, my one-on-one interview with Bradley Cooper and Carey Mulligan. Next, a rare treat. A little classical groove to the show here this Sunday morning. Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. By the way, correct pronunciation, Bernstein, not Bernstein. Almost everybody says it incorrectly, but the way that Mr. Bernstein said it was Bernstein. Lenny, as we like to call him now. Lenny. Playing some Shostakovich here at the New York Philharmonic at Lincoln Center in New York. Symphony number 5, for those of you keeping track. Part of the joy, I do love classical music. It takes me, I close my eyes and I listen to the music, and it literally, I feel like I'm being transported. You fly in the cradle of this music.
I didn't know you were a fan.
I am a fan. I took many classes in college. Yes, I went to college.
I know that, but I didn't know you were. I didn't know you liked this music.
I dig the Shostakovich.
Or as they said in...
I'm a Shostakovichy, like a Swiftie. I'm a Shostakovichy. No, I do love it. I can't think of too many more types of music that literally take me someplace when I listen to it. Do you know what I mean? Does that sound weird?
No, it doesn't. Not at all. Especially this piece.
I remember when I was when we were in grade school, Edward Cole School on the South Side, we would occasionally go to field trips to Orchestra Hall to hear concerts. And I remember my eighth grade teacher, Mrs. Kostakis, saying, close your eyes and listen to the music and see where it takes you. And I did that. And that's how I listen to classical music now. Takes me someplace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wish it took me someplace with a White Castle. I'm a little hungry, to tell you the truth.
Did you go around the corner to the McDonald's after the concert then?
No, I wish we did.
Oh, okay.
I wish we did. But I do love it. And I can't praise this movie enough. I'm highly recommending it to you. I wish it were in more theaters. Maybe once it starts getting Academy Awards, they might expand it beyond Netflix. That I don't know yet. But it was a real treat to sit down with Carey Mulligan, who plays the wife of Leonard Bernstein in this movie, Francesca, and the...
Felicia,
excuse me.
Yeah.
Writer, the producer, director, and the man who plays Lenny himself, Bradley Cooper. I have not been able to stop thinking about this movie since I saw it at the film festival in New York. That's how obsessed I've been with what you've created. You know, as the star, as the director, as the co-writer, producer, the more I thought about this, it was very
Bernstein like of you to be conducting this film? I mean, the way he conducted arpeggios and crescendos, you were conducting the flow and magic of this movie. Did it feel like that while you were doing it?
It did feel like that in the sense that I always envisioned this movie as having a rhythm to Lenny's music, which is what it does, and wrote scenes to that. So in that sense, in terms of the movement of the camera, the lens choice, the composition, it was all musical. I didn't necessarily think that I was conducting the whole movie, but in retrospect, I think it was probably a gift that Lenny gave me to wear all these hats, because that was the only way that I was going to be able to channel him.
Yeah, as I watched that a scene in which you're conducting, and it is feeling you, watching you bringing in different parts of the orchestra during that whole thing, it's like that's what he's did for the last 6 years,
right?
In this movie, it was.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was amazing. And Carrie, for you, I had read that you said that you were in before you even saw the script for this. What was the attraction?
Way before.
Yeah.
Years before.
A long time.
How do you do something like that?
Well, to get to act with... Well, before I even had seen his work as a director, just to get to act with Bradley, because I'd always wanted to act with him. And we'd known each other, you know, a little bit as friends, and so the prospect of getting to be, you know... And from the beginning, it was a story about a marriage. So I thought, I get to make a film with him where we have this equal parts marriage, and that would be fascinating. And then I started to learn about these characters. But it was really... And then, not long afterwards, I saw A Star Is Born. And I remember exactly where I was. I remember coming out of the theatre, and it was in a theatre that was midtown, and I walked down 40 blocks with my friend Zoe Kazan, who came with me, and we just talked the whole time about what an incredible director he was. So the two things combined, to get to act with him and then to be in his next vision, just was obviously a no-brainer.
Yeah. The other thing that I'd read that you had said that he changed the way that you approach acting.
Hmm.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, I think, you know, we worked with this incredible coach this woman, Kim Gillingham, who works and does dream workshops, and we did 6 days with her, and she's someone that I had worked with a bit before, but I'd never done a workshop like this, and Bradley asked me to do it, and the idea essentially was to sort of go into your subconscious, try and make it feel like you're not acting, so you kind of connecting your subconscious to the material so that you're not having to sort of muster up lots of acting when you get to shooting it. But I'd been talking to Kim before about what Bradley had asked of me in this project, and that he'd asked me to go all in, and that I had a certain reticence to that, and that I felt that throughout my career I'd had this sort of slightly tentative feeling when it came to really committing to things on camera. And I think that through watching this and watching the commitment and what Bradley put into it, it felt like there was no choice. And he also made the environment so unbelievably safe that I sort of it did feel like the first time I could just sort of go all in.
I loved what you had said, that you were obsessed with conducting as a kid. Just, you know, the movement, I guess, and that you were inspired by Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
Because I was, too.
Yeah.
I always said that everything I knew about classical music, I learned in Bugs Bunny cartoons.
That's right. Yeah.
But how, explain that to me.
I think there was just something about the control, the magical power one could have if just by the move of a hand and this incredible music came out, you know, from watching Tom and Jerry and Bugs Bunny when they would do that in the cartoons. And then I just spent hours and hundreds of hours fake conducting. And so I always felt, and then fast forward to grad school, Ellen Burstyn was doing a workshop and she asked us to write a monologue for a character, and I wrote a monologue for a conductor, and private moments in acting classes I would always do conducting. It was just something I knew was deep inside me. So when this project came around, I thought, I think I have all this built-in rehearsal and work that's inside of me, really, that I could help, you know, bring into what the next work I was going to do.
Yeah. Bradley Cooper and Carey Mulligan talking about their new movie that's called Maestro. It is in exactly one theater in the Chicago area. Wish it was in more. It's not. It will be on Netflix December the 20th. I would imagine after it starts to gather Oscar steam that they might bring it back into theaters. That's the way they normally do it, but Netflix hasn't announced that yet because they want you to come to Netflix to to see the movie. Somebody texted saying that they had heard that Sarah Silverman, the comedian, is in the movie, and she is. Were you surprised too, Shawnee?
Yeah, she plays Bernstein's sister, Shirley.
Yeah, yeah, a dramatic role.
She was very good at it, too.
It's a little bit funny, but it's not really a comedic role.
Well, it's Sarah Silverman, but, you know.
Yeah, but yes, she is in the movie. All the performances are terrific. So, yeah, we'll be talking much more. Oh, and my interview with the children of Leonard Bernstein, a little closer to when the movie goes to Netflix. So that's going to be in a couple of weeks. We'll update news and get into our Food Time segment next. And coming up, we're going to get into our Food Time segment this week. We've been talking about Willy Wonka and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I thought we'd talk a little chocolate today. That's coming up in a minute. But first, Shawnee, I wanted to acknowledge our fine, fine, wonderful, delightful radio audience that we have here every
best
Sunday,
in the world
Sunday morning. People are so sweet and so nice and so generous. On the flight back, I was in London last week, if you weren't listening earlier, and I'm on my flight back, and several of the flight attendants come up and you know, they bring me like a little cookie or something. And they go, "I just want you to know, I enjoy you and Shawnee on Sunday morning." They're big fans. So shout out to the American Airlines flight attendants.
Well, let's include Andy with this also.
I'm never flying American again.
Were they now the question is, were they standing in a group of two or three and kind of pointing at you and giggling a little bit?
No,
saying,
they
think
were,
that's Dean Richards?
They were coming up to my seat. They came up to my seat and like whispered it to me. Like they didn't want anyone else to know that they liked the show. They didn't want it to get around.
No. Oh, okay. It was that.
No, they were. Right. They couldn't have been nicer. But
that's great.
On our text line this morning, people are saying how much they're enjoying the show today. Thank you. You guys must hear this also.
We do.
Right during the week.
We do. Yeah.
People say how much they enjoy the show.
Yeah, we do.
It's very nice. Very nice. I was at the grocery store, as I am prone to be on Saturday morning. I've talked about this many times. I like to go in super early before the store gets crowded and do my shopping.
Now, the weather's getting colder. Do you bring a heavier coat to cover up the cart?
I bring a canvas tarp. I bring a canvas tarp. Because I've joked that I cover my cart because I don't want anyone judging me on my selection.
As if they don't judge you already.
Yeah, as if I don't give you enough reasons already to judge me. And believe me, if you see me on a Saturday morning, you are not seeing a pretty Dean Richards on this. You are seeing an unshaven mess of a person. You would think, oh, that poor homeless person. But anyway.
And look at that coat.
Right, why does he have it draped over his food? But, you know, I've joked about that. I don't want to be food judged. So I'm shopping. Somebody comes up to me. Are you Dean Richards? Yes. Oh, I enjoy you on the TV morning news. And you guys on Sunday morning, I enjoy you so much. But how come you don't have your groceries covered up? It's like, I don't really do that. It's just kind of a joke. And then I looked at my carts like, what am I buying that I'm embarrassed? You know, this woman is food judging me now. Now I feel like I do have to cover my food. You know, you make some extravagant choices. You know, you get 2-3 bags of chocolates in there, and people are going to go, That explains a lot. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, getting into our Food Time program, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. The award-winning All Things Edible program, heard every Sunday, more or less at this time. And this past week, I did my first chocolate making. I'd never done that before. I've made, like, chocolate mousse. I've made, like, chocolate cream pies, but no kind of chocolate ever until I went to a chocolate-making class while I was in London doing my interviews and attending the world premiere of the new Wonka movie, the new Willy Wonka movie. Part of, you know, what they did was they set us up with chocolate-making class because it's Willy Wonka and, you know, chocolate and all that. And they had an expert chocolatier show us how to make these beautiful, delicate, almost tulip-like creations made out of chocolate. It was amazing how it's done, how painstakingly it's done. I have such admiration for anybody who can make something like that, you know, especially in quantity. You know, chocolatiers who make these beautiful creations that are also delicious and edible. And I did okay with it, I guess. You know, they kind of walk you through it and hold your hand through the whole thing. But I was hoping it was something that I could show on WGN TV Morning News on my weekly Wednesday cooking segment. Because I like to do things, you know, like that to show on TV. But I think this is, like, so intricate. This would be, like, nearly impossible for somebody to do at home. Because you need special tools and special vats and, like, things like that. So while it was very interesting, and I will show some video of me doing it, in the next week or so, I am going to be doing a chocolate segment on TV. But I'm going to be making another chocolate that this chocolatier created and served to us. It was so delicious. It was an orange and hazelnut praline caramel. So it was a caramel, a very light, sweet caramel with fresh orange zested on top of it, with a hazelnut mixed into the whole thing. And I'm going to make that into like a slab of chocolate. I'm going to make it probably not on a slab, but, you know, like in a sheet pan that you will also be able to easily do at home. I think I figured out a good recipe of how to do this, of mixing the chocolate and the hazelnut praline and the orange and the caramel. I'm going to mix it all together into something that you would pour into a sheet pan, put it in the fridge, let it harden up, and then break it up into pieces. And I think it would be a nice Christmas treat. So look for that in the next couple of weeks or so. This coming Wednesday on my cooking segment, because Hanukkah begins on Thursday night, I wanted to do something that makes sense for the holidays, for holiday gathering. And for Hanukkah, often brisket is served. And I came up with a recipe. I wanted to do something other than just, you know, like a regular brisket, a roasted brisket. So I came up with a brisket that is made in the crock pot, slow cooker, and is made with sort of a honey cranberry glaze. So, you know, it's like the deep richness of a brisket, but a little bit of the sweet and tartness of whole cranberries at the same time. So that's going to be this coming Wednesday on WGN TV Morning News. In the meantime, wanted to open up the phone lines. Some of you, I really honestly do not do baking and desserts very often. This foray into the chocolate making really was a first for me. And when I do any kind of desserts, almost always, it's the first time ever. I'm more of a cook than a pastry chef or candy maker or anything. But I know, especially this time of year, a lot of you are doing cookies. A lot of you are doing sweets. A lot of you are doing these kinds of things. What's your best sweet treat that you do for the holidays? Can you share that with me? And maybe we can, you know, kind of share recipes here a little bit this morning. Your best sweet treat. If it's chocolate, all the better, because I'm like, you know, chocolate is on my mind right now because of all of this Wonka chocolate making that I've been doing. But you know the number, right? 312-981-7200, either on text or I'd love to hear from you on the phone line. 312-981-7200. What's your best holiday sweet treat? Tell me about it after this. 1225 Dean Richards Sunday morning and our food time show on the air. Kind of a mini version this week. Getting ready for Joe Brand's Blackhawks pregame show coming up next. Looking for some holiday sweet treats. Ronnie, what are you making this holiday season?
Well, what everybody loves, they beg me for, and it's Oreo cookies chocolate balls.
Oreo and, cookie chocolate balls? Tell me about that.
Okay, you take a package of Oreo cookies and you grind them up in your, however you grind up crumbs and stuff like that.
Put it like in the food in the food processor, something like that?
Yeah, in the food processor, and then you add an 8-ounce package of cream cheese into that.
Oh, nice.
And get that all nice and ground up in the food processor, mixed up together.
All right.
And then you make balls out of it and put them in the freezer for about an hour or two to get them hard.
Oh, my gosh.
Melt some good chocolate, like a bag of chocolate little pearls or whatever.
Yes.
And then you dip them in that, okay?
So you melt down the chocolate. You take the frozen Oreo balls.
And dip them in the chocolate.
Oh,
and
baby.
Then sometimes I'll put like sprinkles on it or something, depending on the time of the year.
Yeah.
And I use white chocolate, too, sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's 320 calories each. So I didn't say that, right?
320 calories for each ball?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Oh, well, it's Christmas.
They're not that big. It's like a normal scoop you'd use for making cookies. You know, cookies.
Right.
Yeah. Little... But I have people just go crazy for them. Like, you got to bring those, please.
That sounds really good. What if I put a little orange liqueur, say, something in the chocolate? Something like
that. Would be real good.
Yeah.
Now, for this year, I found Oreo had some red velvet cake Oreo cookies.
Yeah, oh, wow.
And so I'm going to try those red velvet Oreos and make
good.
Them in it. Hopefully, it'll because you put cream cheese in it anyway.
Right, right.
You know, so you've got the cream cheese there.
Now, listen to
that's
this.
What I'm making for.
Listen to this, what somebody texted in. They are making a chocolate chip cheesecake with Oreo cookie crust. So they take the Oreo cookies and crush them down, add some butter to it, and some chocolate chips. They press it down into a pie pan. And then for the filling, they mix the cream cheese, some sugar, vanilla, eggs, flour, evaporated milk, and sour cream. Mix all that together. That goes into the Oreo pie crust. And then they bake it in the oven, 300 degrees, for 25 minutes. It's kind of a little bit like yours, right?
You know, that would be good with the red velvet Oreo cookie.
That would be good with the red velvet crust. That would be very festive, wouldn't it?
Yes, I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah, I like that. But I love your idea with the chocolate. Wow, we've got... We got a lot of people with Oreo recipes on our line. I love this on our text line here today. That's great.
Good.
All right,
I love your show.
I'm going to give yours a try because I love that it's no bake.
Oh,
it's super easy.
Yeah.
And
yeah, right.
Anytime I can
make them several days ahead.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Anytime I can break out the orange liqueur too. You know, I don't need much convincing with that. So.
Yeah, that would be good.
Happy holidays to you,
really?
Ronnie. Thank you so much.
You too. Thank you, Dean.
Really,
okay.
Really appreciate
Bye.
It. Yeah, we've got folks here with raspberry, almond, shortbread, thumbprint cookies. I like to make a chocolate Texas sheet cake. That sounds just plain old delicious right there. But I'm going to be experimenting with some chocolate recipes on my TV cooking segment the next couple of weeks as we get into the season here. Thank you so much for listening today. I always appreciate it very much. I'll see you first thing tomorrow morning on Bob Surratt Show between 8 and 8:30, like we do every Monday through Friday, and on the WGN TV morning news. This coming week, I'll be talking with Emma Stone, who you saw on Saturday Night Live last night, Brie Larson, Mark Ruffalo, Willem Dafoe.